Michigan Liberation is a statewide network of people and organizations organizing to end the criminalization of Black families and communities of color in Michigan. We envision a state without mass incarceration, mass policing, and punishment. We envision a state with the best public education in the nation, single-payer health care, and thriving Black and brown communities. Here on the Respect the Rules podcast, we will lift up the stories and experiences of those impacted by mass incarceration, collective ties to the criminal legal system, and the frontline efforts to end mass incarceration.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Respect the Roots, Michigan Liberation's podcast. I'm Miss Marjan. I'm glad to be here. We are doing another episode of Life After Lockup series in the studio today. I got to introduce my brothers, I guess, from another Mr. Mother, you name it. Hey, however you want to do it. Let's start off with Anthony Boyd. What's up, Anthony? Just raise your hand. Let me go in. No, that's there. Okay. All right. That's Anthony right there. Hey, Anthony, what's up? And then, all right. And then on the other side, we got Araf. I got to make sure I got, did I get that right, Araf?
You got it right.
See, I like how I put the Araf. All right.
Yeah, that's right. You let the I roll.
Araf. Yeah. Well, thank you, brothers. Thank you so much for coming into the studio today with me. We are doing this series because we want to educate people on what's really going on. I've talked to you many times at Araf's, you know, at the restaurant, breaking bread together, and then we've talked offline about different things as it deals with mass incarceration. But first of all, I just want to thank you. And then also, I want everybody to hear your story, you know, what you want people to know about you. So who wants to start? Araf or Anthony? I know I'm putting both of them on the spot and everything.
Anthony can start.
Anthony, tell us who you are and what you know. We did have like Marvin Cotton, shout out to him, and as well as Leon Benson that came and man, they broke it down. They was like, I did like 19 years, this so many months, so many days. And then they went on about, you know, who, what happened and then, you know, what life was like before getting out of prison.
I appreciate that. I don't remember the days and the months, but I do know that I served 23 years. 18 of it was in the Michigan Department of Corrections. 5 of it was in the Federal Bureau of Prisons. I got out in 2018. I've been out since then, got off parole. Now I'm an entrepreneur. I used to work for Michigan Liberation. Shout out to Michigan Liberation. I work with the organization now as a consultant and coach called Designing Justice, Designing Spaces, where I do some consulting, coaching, and I also manage their property. They're a nonprofit organization, architecture firm out of California that just purchased some property here in Michigan that I happen to manage because they're looking to build on that property. And I'm still actively involved in the community as a community organizer. I do a little activism or a little advocacy work. But now it's more about dealing with what I'm still experiencing since I've been home, and that's trauma. I'm heavily involved in areas of trauma because many of us who have come home, such as myself, we took a lot of trauma in the prison with us. And what we did was bring a lot of trauma back out here. Prison exacerbated the trauma. A lot of people think prison started the trauma. It didn't. Prison just exacerbated the trauma we took in with us. And now I'm all about finding the things that I needed when I first came home. And because of those things that I needed, I created a whole business around it. And I needed to heal. I needed to heal from the trauma that I took into prison and how prison exacerbated that trauma. I needed to feel empowered again because prison stripped you of that empowerment. I needed to feel respected because prison, not all prison staff or guards strip you of that respect, but a lot of them do because they just see you as a number and you did a crime, you should do the time no matter what. And I needed to feel optimistic again. So I created an organization called HERO because that's what I felt I needed.
Wow. Thanks, Anthony. Thank you for that. And Arif, tell us who you are and your story. How much time did you serve, and what was life like inside for you?
Well, for me, I did 15 years in federal prison. 39 and a half months was county jail. Mm-hmm. And then I went to trial, a two-month trial. After that, I was in a detention center. So from 2006, when my life turned around, that's when my indictment came down, October 2006. Then my trials began in 2010, ended in June of 2010. I went back into 2011 in a detention center. I didn't go to actual federal prison until 2011. So what is that, about 5 years? 5 years later?
Wow.
And to me, that's like a confinement in itself. That should be like triple time. Anyway, I got sentenced. I got found guilty and was sentenced to 37 years in prison. I end up doing 15 years out of that. I got back on appeal, went to the Supreme Court, and had it brought back down to the district court for them to resentence me. I got down to 20. I was supposed to only get that. I had multiple counts. Three of those was 20, 20, 20 running together. Then I had a 10 that was consecutive. Then I had a 7 that was consecutive for enhancements. So that's how I got the 37. So only one of those 20s came off when I went to the Supreme Court, plus that consecutive 10 for the gun. And then the judge gave me the additional 7 off was for my rehabilitation in prison. And she couldn't go below the mandatory minimum. So those two 20s were still running together with RICO conspiracy, violent act of racketeering. That came off, the violent act with the gun enhancement and the enhancements. Those came off, knocked it to the 20. The last 5, I was released under compassionate release. Now the judge's hand's not tied anymore. There was reason to give me, my mom needed the caregiver, and also more rehabilitation that I've done, that I continued doing. While I was in Sandstone, Minnesota, I went to Lompoc, California, Manchester, Kentucky, then Sandstone, Minnesota. I walked it down from that USP level down to the low. And like Anthony said, trauma, that's, you know, like we talked about this. Me and Anthony talked about this before. Yeah. That 15 years, I can imagine someone that did more than that. But anything, any kind of time will give you some trauma. But 15 years, 2 years being out, 2 years, and this is going to be like month one, going into month two. So 2 years, 2 months.
It's going to
take
out
longer than that to repair 15 years of damage.
Right. And Anthony, how long has it been for you?
I've been home now 5 years. And that's funny that Adif says that, because talking to my therapist was telling me that for every six months that you spend in prison, for every year you spend in prison, it's going to take you 6 months of that time to reacclimate yourself back into society.
Wait, say that again.
Every year that you spent is going to take you half a year to reacclimate yourself back into society. So I spent 23. So it's going to take me about 11 and a half years to get used to being home.
Wow. Now, you both touched on the trauma. And I'm assuming like that was something you experienced maybe in your childhood. And then you said prison, you know, it kind of
made it worse.
Made it worse.
Yes.
It just like totally opened up those wounds and stuff and everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really, because of what you experience in prison. Because once you go to prison, you have to redirect your whole mindset. Because you lived one way out in the, out here in what we call the world, because it's two different worlds.
Right.
Being in prison is a world of its own, and being out here is a world of its own. So being out here in the world, you developed a particular mindset to survive out here. Once you get to prison, you have to change the majority of what you learned or what you learned out here or the way you carried yourself out here in order to survive in there. So you have to develop an entirely different mindset because it's about survival in there.
Right.
Regardless of how people, a lot of people look at it, it's about survival. Every day, and I was just talking to my daughter about this, every day that I was locked up, my prayer every night before I went to bed was, Lord, please let me make it through the day.
Right.
Every day, I prayed that same thing, that I prayed those same words for 23 years. Lord, please let me make it through the day, because you never know what the day is going to bring.
Wow. Wow. So, you know, during this series, we've been talking about, you know, your history, your life in, you know, lockup or in prison. And, you know, some of the episodes that, you know, we've had, people have talked about, you know, that's when they started doing more reading, you know, figuring out who they were. I know you mentioned the trauma. They mentioned that as well. Like, shout out to Marvin and Leon that did some episodes with us. But talk about us before we go into the next half. We got about 2 minutes before we go into the second half, because we definitely want to hear all the amazing things that you're doing now, because you both don't look like nothing like what you've been through, especially trauma.
Right.
But can you tell us what the life was like in there from your perspective, as you feel comfortable and everything? Because I know you both have different experiences and everything.
Go ahead, Arif. I'm going to let you start this time.
Now, Arif, now, we've talked about this before. Can you tell everybody where you're from? Because, you know.
Well, being Muslim, and you come into a prison, and then you got groups in there. So you got blacks, you got whites, you got Hispanics, and even they're broken up. And then you got Muslims, who majority is black, and I'm born Muslim. Some of them become Muslim in prison. Some of them Muslim from the streets. But then you got cars. You know, you got them. They're all turning them into cars, where these cars, which are groups, are called cars in prison.
Wow.
And so, in other words, you ride with your people.
So a car is like a clique.
That's it. Yeah. Exactly.
Wow.
So they'll tell somebody, if somebody's out of line, you're not going to crash the car.
Wow.
You know, so, they, you know, basically, they've got to put them in check, you know.
Wow.
They got to put the individual in check. So my experience everywhere I was part of, we were involved in a riot between the Hispanics and the Muslims. And I took a hit from one of our guys because I looked Hispanic.
Really?
They said, yeah, the funny thing, they joked around about it afterwards, you should have been wearing a kufi and a beard. And we,
you wouldn't have gotten mistaken.
And I said, I'll deal with you when we get out the shoe, because we were all taken to the shoe. And, you know, I wasn't, you know, it happened out in the yard, and it came back. They locked the whole compound down except our unit, where the head guys from each group were in. And then they got the wrong information of who started it and how it happened, and it just took off from in there. And the CO was right there. And I took a hit, basically, because I was trying to stop it. And that CO was right in the way, too. So I basically took the hit for him. He would have got that hit.
Wow.
And that, I think that helped during my sentence, because that was around when I got my sentence lowered, because that was put in my brief when we submitted it to the court.
Now, let me ask you this. What were you sentenced? What was the amount of time that you were sentenced with?
37 years. So that alone, trauma, thinking you ain't getting out of here till you're an old man.
37 years.
37 years.
And
mentally, you fighting every day. Some people don't even do that. Some people sit in front of TVs and, you know, playing cards and work out, whatever they do, or doing cookups. I worked out in there. I didn't need to go to take no more classes. I just did that for mentally and read books because I had two college degrees already.
Wow. What degrees did you already?
Mechanical engineering and liberal arts of Near Eastern and Asian studies from Wayne State University. So I went in an educated individual, but I still, because learning is a life thing. You always got to learn. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I read more books in federal prison than I did in college. You know, I didn't even read my textbook in college.
Right.
I didn't even bother reading. I just used to take notes and study, and that's it. Except the only was my math books. I had to read that to do the problems. But any other class, I read more books, I think, in the first 6 months than I did my whole life going to school.
Wow. Wow.
I'm talking about reading from beginning to end.
Yeah. Wow. Did you meet a lot of people from the Middle East in prison and everything?
There wasn't too many, but I did, mm-hmm. but there wasn't too many. I met a lot more from the black and brown community. Mm-hmm. And a lot, you know, I was like, I can't believe what I used to just say, this is the case, this is the case. It's like, we're targeted. You know, everybody's targeted. And I was like, man, this is a real good dude. This is that, you know, there's no way that you get, I'm starting to learn law in there and starting to learn. I'm like, so I know by the fabrication of some of the case, I'm not saying I was a Boy Scout. But at the same time, I was like, man, they just adding as it kept on going. As the years went by, when the indictment, first indictment, second, third, they just kept adding stuff. I was like, man, where are you getting this stuff from, right? And it became repetitive when I read somebody else's. That's the same way they did me.
Wow.
This is the same thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Wow. So, Anthony, what about you? Were you a part of a car? Evidently, that's the lingo that they use in.
Well, yeah, he's black. He's part of the black car, or he's part of the Midwest or Detroit car, or you know. Wow. So you know, me being from Michigan, all right, and I was born in New York, so I'm part of New York car, Michigan car, Muslim car, and you know, I look Hispanic because I was a Hispanic car.
He was dipping into all kind of vehicles.
I got along with everybody, honestly.
Right.
And I was a biker. So wow. I got along with all the whites, too. So, I mean, I got along with everybody in the compound.
Wow, wow. What about you, Ann?
Yeah, like Adam said, you're part of a car. I was a part of a car. I was part of the Michigan car, part of the Midwest Coalition car, or part of the Vice Lord car.
Right, okay.
You know, so when I got there, being a part of certain cars, you have to show... Well, all of the cars, really. You have to show paperwork. You have to show paperwork to the heads of the cars so the heads of the cars can look over your paperwork to determine if you snitched or not. Pretty much that's what it is. Yeah.
Wow.
Because if you're shunned if they find out you told on someone. And that can make your time extremely hard. It's not as bad as it used to be before because... Snitching now is kind of...
You don't get stitches anymore, right?
Yeah, it's kind of normal now.
Right,
you know,
people, hear that.
But for me, it was like my reputation and my character and my integrity meant a lot to me. I'm not knocking people for doing what they do. If you feel you needed to do that, then fine, that's on you. That just wasn't a part of my makeup because I had to walk around that compound every single day. And when you don't know, when people find out what you've done, if they decide to hit you, you don't know where the hit is coming from.
Wow. Wow. Well, if you just joined us, I'm having a conversation with Anthony and Arif, and, you know, they served time in prison, but now we're about to switch over and talk about some of the amazing things that they've done now that they've been out. And Arif, you said how long has it been since you've been out?
2 years and 2 months.
What about you, Anthony?
What is this, December? So I've been...
You said about 5.
About 5 years and 2 months.
Yeah, about 5 years,
five
right.
5 years and 2 months.
So you... And explain it, because, you know, when we talked to Marvin and Leon during their episode, they was exonerated.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't have much notice. Did you guys get, like, a advance notice of when you're going to be released? No. You didn't do your full time. Oh,
no,
wow.
I did all of my time.
You did all of your time. You didn't do all of yours.
No, I didn't know I was going to win the appeal. You know, you just keep losing appeals.
Yeah.
Losing them back to back to back. You expect, oh, I'm just going to file anyway. And, you know, hopefully it's like throwing it up in the air. Okay, I'm going to get this one, but you never really go get it. And then I got it, you know. Especially the compassionate release, I was like, man, they ain't gonna give that to me.
Well, how did you find out your appeal was, you know, approved?
Oh, the compassionate release part when I got released. Okay, I filed it, and then what happened is I didn't even hear from no one. I happened to call home, and my daughter screaming on the phone talking about, you coming home. And I'm like, what?
Oh, you
did. I got to wait a minute. How you know I'm coming on? So she just told me you just won. It's in the news. So I had to. I said it's on the news. I said they everybody know before I know. So I got to call my attorney.
Crazy.
Yeah, and then he said, "Yeah. Oh, sorry, I didn't let you know." even they didn't know in the prison.
Wow, that you.
And then the next day I got out.
Wow.
You know, they had to do the paperwork and I got out.
Wow. And Anthony, you served your whole time. So you knew when you was getting out.
Well, I knew that I was going. I didn't know exactly because in the state, once you reach your minimum, you can go before the board. Because right now they're doing truth and sentencing, whereas whatever time you get, you must do that whole time. I went in during a time where you were getting disciplinary credits. So they would knock off. I got hit with 22 to 40 years in the state, 2 for the gun and 20 years for the crime. On that 20-year bit, they knocked off 4 years because I was eligible for disciplinary credits. Right. But I had to do the 2 years flat first, and then I had to do another 16 years.
Wow.
And then when I went to the feds, after the state, I go to the feds, I have to do an additional 5 years.
Right. Wow.
And I was let out. I won my parole in the state. And after I did my 5 years in the feds, I was released.
Wow. Well, y'all, Amy, you guys have said a mouthful. And I know both of you, but now you're out, you know, you've been out some time. I know you mentioned some of the things that you've been doing. You know, Anthony, you've been consulting. Have you been working with the family, you know, business and everything? So what life, how has this not only impacted you, but your families in a way? And
wow.
I know we got like 5 or so minutes, but I know that's another episode too. But just if you can just briefly touch on that, that's a whole nother episode. It ain't no life. That's a whole nother title.
Yes, that's a whole nother.
That we need to touch on, y'all.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I will say this just briefly. That's an ongoing, difficult thing because you've been gone for so long. Your family knew you when you left. A lot of them didn't know the transformation you made while in prison. Like Adam said, a lot of us went inside and decided to find ourselves.
Right.
By reading, by going to religious services, by talking to some of the older guys who had gotten their things to, who had gotten their lives together, you know. So you were able to sit at the feet of these men who were giants to us, you know. But what you were never prepared for is what you were going to run into when you came home, because who you were when you left is who your family remembers. Who you are when you come home, they don't have a clue who that person is. So it's difficult on both sides. You have to relearn each other. And right. I'm still struggling with that with my children. Still struggling with that. Trying to relearn who they are as women today, because when I left, they were little girls. Now they're married. Some of them are married and they have children of their own. And now they're women. So I'm often, when I'm dealing with them, I'm often asking myself, when we're having conversations, I'm thinking, who am I talking to? The little girl I left or the woman you've become? Because many times I'm still talking to the hurt little girl that I left.
That you left. When mm-hmm. Wow. What about you, Aaron?
Would you agree that they're always sitting back wondering when you're going back?
Always. That's their biggest fear.
Really?
That's their biggest fear. Are you going to be here?
Because you haven't changed.
And that's what they...
They don't know.
A lot of them think that. You haven't changed.
And they just staring... Like, first of all, they're looking at you. I can't believe you out.
Yes.
They've gotten used to you being... Like, whatever type
of
situation.
They got
to
adjust. They got to adjust their lives now because they were living without you. Now you come home and it seems like you want to take over.
Mm.
And it's not. It's not that. It's not you want to take over. It's like... It's not, you know, but it might be you think you could come out and take your place back, but you got to earn it back. So you got to do it. And I think you got to do it in baby steps, but, you know, can't. Look, it's been 2 years and still we're distant. You know, we talk, but we're distant. And like I went in and I had one son that was only a year old. We still don't communicate. Like, I think I talked to him more when he was visiting me in the visiting room.
Oh, versus now?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, when we're at work, we talk about work, about he's in the kitchen, I'm out on the floor, and we'll talk about stuff for the customers, but nothing like bonded. We do every now and then. He'll talk about, like, working out. Because he goes to the same gym as me, but we don't go together.
Just short
a couple of times we did go together, and we went separate ways and did our own workout, stuff like that. We didn't do it together.
Right.
So you know, it's like he's set in his ways. He'll come in the house, and majority of the time he'll be in his room. But that's the way our kids are these days. There's no social skills. You know, when I was younger, I used to be around adults.
Right.
Wanted to see what I could learn from them,
right.
Get the game from them.
Right.
And I didn't even know I was doing that.
Right.
It was just out of habit. That's what everybody used to do.
Right.
And you see that in the prisons as well.
Wow.
You see the youngsters attach on to somebody older, like, hey, OG. Hey, OG, you're coming by. You're hanging out with you all the time. And you know they're looking for something they didn't have.
Wow.
On the street.
That's deep, y'all. Well, you know you all got to come back, and we got to talk about the impact.
Absolutely.
The aftermath. That's a different series title.
Yes.
You know, we got, like, literally less than half a minute, and I want to thank both of y'all for coming in and just telling your story and being transparent for the little bit of time that we was doing this and everything. You know, we just had to scratch the surface a little bit, y'all. All right. So till next time, everybody, you make sure you tune in. This is Life After Lockup series, but we're going to do one even deeper. I'm going to let the fellas come in and do this one. I'm going to let them come and work the controls. I'm going to sit in the back and just be on the sideline. How's that? All right.
Cool.
Thank you, Arif. Right. Thank you, Anthony. Love y'all with all my might. Hey, I love y'all too. Until next time, remember to what? Respect
the roots.
Absolutely. All right, y'all. Take care, y'all.
Bye.
Michigan Liberation Education Fund,
I learned that one
conducts grassroots organizing, leadership development, and civic engagement activities. Michigan Liberation C4 and Michigan Liberation Action Fund IE are sister organizations.